things. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in week two of a little series that I started last week, and I said I think it was a really important series. And I think the idea behind our series is that there is a better way. There's a better way than what we're doing it. Most of us who are Christ followers, who are the followers of the man who showed us the way, we are having more and more difficult times today. It is very difficult to be alive today. It is difficult to be a Christian today. It is difficult to live out your Christian faith. And I believe that there is a better way. And people will often ask, you know, well, what are you preaching about? And some of the things that I find myself preaching about, I'm thinking, God, is this really necessary? Is this things that the people really need to hear? And I think this series is some things that we really need to hear. I understand our country, our world, our nation seems to be going to heck in a handbag. It seems to be imploding from within. Things that seem right are wrong, and wrong is right. It's a weird time. I get all that. I understand where a lot of you are spending a lot of your time. And I would say to you, be careful that you spend time on things that are going to last. This country isn't going to last. The things that we're spending a lot of our efforts on, they're not going to last. It's important. I get it. I pledge allegiance to the flag. I all those things. I'm very, very like you in that. But be careful that they don't supersede, that we're making sure that we're following the man of the way, the man who showed us the way to live our life. And that's what we're going to talk about some more today. We're going to talk about how do we do that? How do we plug into the man who showed us the way to walk? Because that's what the Bible says. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. If you follow me, I'll be with you through everything you go through. We started a new lesson on Thursday night in the 55 plus group, and it's got the title of the lesson is, you're going to get through this. And that is such a wonderful theory, and it's a wonderful synopsis to think about. So if you're here today and you're going through cancer, you're going to get through this. If you're here today and there's someone in your life that's near death, you're going to get through this. If you're here today and you're struggling with your thoughts and the things that are going through your head, you're going to get through this because, church, there's a better way. And the one who showed us the better way, he said, I'll be with you through thick and thin. I'll be with you the whole time, no matter where you are, what you're doing, what's going on. So let's get right into our lesson today, kind of introducing that. I asked a really hard question last week. I said, do you think that Christianity even works sometimes? And some of you probably thought that I was kind of going off the rails, like, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Yes, Christianity works. Here I'm at church today, and I got the time to get out of bed, and I got my keister here, and here I am, and, you know, praise the Lord, and pass the plate, and the communion, and then I'm going to go home. But does Christianity really work? And that's the question we kind of talked about last week. So I want to expand on that a little bit. I don't want to just talk about that, but I want to expand and see where God would take us this morning as we do that. You ever wake up in the morning and you just feel overwhelmed? You ever just get up and wonder, I feel so anxious. I feel rushed. I feel like there's so much to do. I know if you're here today and you're retired, you're going, Jeff, this isn't for me. But I do think, even if you are retired, this is for you, so don't check out on me, okay? Don't check out on me. I believe that there's so many days where we wake up and we go, I got so much to do. And then what we do is we go and we do it, and then we add more things to our schedule, and then we end up the day and we're going, man, I didn't get nothing done, or man, I didn't get anything I wanted to do done today because I had this, and that, and none of it happened. I wonder how many of you would occasionally say that you're disappointed in the way that your life is going. Are you disappointed in the way that things are turning out in who you are? Who you are as a married couple? Who you are as a mom and dad? Are you just secretly a little bit like, oh, I didn't think it was going to be like this? Was life really supposed to be like that? I don't know. What if I told you this morning, what if I told you that the greatest enemy to your life may not be the devil, it may be the way that you're living your life? What if I told you this morning that the greatest enemy to every one of us who are following Christ, who are trying to follow the way of the Lord, our greatest enemy is us? We got places to go, all of us do. Most of us have jobs, bills to pay, kitchens to clean, kids to raise, books to do, courses to take, biased news to upset ourselves with. And we get really mad, and we got all these things to do, a list of things, you know, and we got that Netflix series that we want to binge on, or whatever it is you binge on as you do your life. And we don't really rest, and we really don't reflect on our day, and we really don't enjoy intimacy with our spouse. We don't really enjoy intimacy with the Father. We don't tell him everything that's on our heart. We hold it back because we think somehow he doesn't know or doesn't care. And just because of the pace of what you find yourself doing, life is going faster and faster and faster. Those relationships that we really want, those deep connections we want with people, they're just almost there, but they're not. Because all of us want connection. All of us want somebody to say, I care about you, dude. I love you. I want to be in your life. And that's hard. That's hard because so many of us are so frantic, and we're living our lives at such a frantic pace that we don't have time for anyone else. And we find ourselves trying to do more and more for ourselves and get tighter and tireder and tireder. As we do all those things, we look around and we look at everybody else. And the very first thing, everybody that went by me last week, I asked them this question, how you doing? 60% of you said, after we talked about this, you know what the first words out of your mouth was? How you doing? I'm really busy. I know. That's what we're all busy. And so we look around and we see everybody's busy and we go, oh, well, that must be okay because everybody's busy and I'm busy. And so we'll all just busy ourselves into heaven, you know. We'll just get there, and I guess maybe we'll rest in heaven, or maybe we'll get some shut-eye in heaven, or whatever it is. What if I told you this morning, church, that the greatest enemy to yourself may be the life that you're currently living? I want you to think about this, and I hope there's some meat in here for everybody today. Today, as we examine the way that Jesus lived, we are all about the truth. Every one of us in here, if I stood up here and started saying things that weren't true about Jesus, about doctrine, and you know, we don't need to get baptized, and you don't need to have faith, and if I started saying that, you would crucify me. You would crucify me. You'd say, Jeff, what a bozo. What are you doing? What are you teaching us? But yet we live our lives, and we don't follow the way of the one who called us. And then we wake up with this anxious feeling in the pit of our stomach, or we wake up thinking, does Christianity really work? And we wonder, where's God? When maybe what we've accidentally done is pushed him away in the corner and ask him to stay there. Jesus had 3 years to make an impact on the world. He had 3 years of service, very public ministry, and he recruited 12 ragtag, run-of-the-mill people who were fishermen, who were stinky, smelly, sweaty, the dregs of humanity, and he got them, and he brought them along with him, and the Bible tells us the story of what happened. He healed all sorts of people that came into his life. The Bible tells us that he 351 prophecies just by him showing up, he fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled that just in those 3 years. Jesus never once ran. Jesus was busy, but he never rushed. I don't think he ever had a day where he said to his disciples, shoot, boys, we're running behind schedule. Not one time. But how many times do you and I think that about our lives. I have so much to do, and I didn't get it done. I want to show you a phrase. It's just a real simple phrase. You don't have to turn to it, but I think it's going to come up. It's Mark 2:14. And this is a phrase that you see over and over and over again in those 3 years of Jesus' life. Over and over and over. And if you're not careful, you'll miss it. You say, Jeff, why are you zoning in on this? Because this is important. So this phrase that he says, it says this. As Jesus walked along. Didn't say he ran. Didn't say he was, you know, in a rush. He walked. It says that as Jesus walked, as Jesus walked, as Jesus walked, time after time after time. And so this story goes on, and Jesus said to Levi, who happened to be sitting there in Mark, he said, Levi got up and he followed Jesus. And he said, I'll buy into what you're telling me here. And so I believe that Levi began to live that same kind of life where Levi walked too. And he had time for things that were important. He had time for people. He had time to understand and to care enough to be able to spend time with the people in his life that God brought there. See, the way we live, it's really different from Jesus. But yet we say we're followers of Jesus. And then I got to thinking about us. And I'm thinking, wow, something's not right. And yet we have these anxious mornings where we wake up and, oh, I woke up, I got this. I didn't do it. And it startles us. Or those of you that can't go to bed because, why? You can't shut it off. You can't even shut it down for enough to go get the rest that God called you to get. So again, you often find yourself in this place where you don't want to be. Last week we looked at a passage from Matthew 11. I think you can go and pull this one up too, Charlie. I think it's from the New International Version. I read and I spent a lot of time on it, but I want to read it today from the Message Version. I read this again this week, and it's so poetic. I understand it's not word for word translation, the Message. When you get into the Message, it's always a little bit more flowery, but listen to the words of Matthew 11 in the Message Version. I love the way they put it to us. And you can read along if you want to. It should be up here. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn from the unforced rhythms of grace. Hey, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. All I'm asking you is to take my yoke. Remember we talked about that last? Just take my yoke up with me, but keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Doesn't that make you feel just good just reading it? It just make you feel just so light. When was the last time you felt light? Don't just believe, church, what Jesus believed. Don't just talk about the truth and defend the truth. And we're going to defend this country, and we're going to defend that, and we're going to defend that. No, no, no. Follow the way of the one who called you. Think about the way that he lived. He lived a life that what mattered most was the person that was sitting in front of him at the time he was there. 33 years he lived, called to be perfect, called to live in a world, and he was going to give his life, and he knew that from the moment he was able to understand who he was. He knew that he was going to die. He knew how he was going to die. He knew why he was going to die. He knew that, and so it was a part of everything he did. And so we follow Jesus' story. If you remember when he got to the public part of his ministry, he's baptized in this very public event, and the dove comes out. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And everybody goes, oh, wow, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And the Father says, this is my Son. You listen to him. You follow him. We all know that story. But do you know what comes right after that? He gets his big coming out party. And what's the first thing he does? He goes on a sabbatical for 40 days to spend time with God. 40 days he sequesters himself in a desert. And he takes himself and he puts himself in a desert purposely. Because he knew it was important to spend time with God before he was going to spend time with people. He knew it was important that if he was going to go into the desert and be tempted and all these things, he knew that the desert was nothing compared to what it was going to be like with the vipers that were going to come against him as he got his public ministry. Right after the 40 days, you know what he does? Something that nobody likes to do. He went to a wedding. He went to a wedding. And the wedding wasn't going so great because they ran out of party juice. And so Jesus goes, hey, wait a minute. And you think, well, you take that for granted. And we always say, oh, he made the best wine, and he got it all, and everybody, oh, this is the best wine. Why did he do that? Because Jesus knew that people would sit around and talk, and it was an opportunity for him to speak into their lives. It was an opportunity. And the Bible says he stayed till the very end, till it wasn't even gone. And who does that? Jesus. He stayed to the end of a wedding. It was important to be there, to spend time with those people. Another time he comes up to a synagogue leader. This guy comes up to him. His name was Jairus. Jairus, he's freaking out. My little girl's dying. My little girl's dying. Jesus, is there anything you can do? Please come save her. Please, please, please. Jesus says, I'll get there. So he takes off, what? Walking. Didn't go get a chariot. Didn't get a horse. Didn't get a Mustang. You know, he just walked. And while he's walking, what's he doing? The story goes on, the Bible goes on, as he's walking, this lady comes up to him and says, I got a problem. Jairus, my daughter's dying. Oh, wait a minute, this lady has a problem. And the Bible says he stopped. He had compassion on her. And what did he do? He healed her. My daughter's dying. And Jesus shows up and shows that time doesn't really matter. Time's not important to Jesus. And I'm not so sure it should be so important to us. Jesus healed her anyway and said, look, I can control time. And if you're following the one that can control time, then you need to know that there's enough hours in the day to do whatever it is God wants you to get done. That should give you a calm, and it should give you a pause, and it should give you the ability today to sit there and go, I'm not doing something the way I should be doing it because I'm just in a mess. I'm in a mess. He walked, he walked, he walked. He wasn't rushed in his soul. The Bible said he had compassion. He had time to have compassion. When's the last time you had time to have compassion on anybody? And we said this in our Bible study. I think it was Beth or somebody. I forget who it was. Somebody said, you know, when you I think it was Mike. Sorry, Mike. You say something to somebody and you tell them about how it's going with you. And you know what the first thing they do? Well, you think that's something? Let me tell you about me. I got 50 other things much, much worse than that. And it becomes this contest to see who's got the best of the worst. What in the world has become of us? What in the world? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So let's talk about us for a second. I talked about Jesus a little bit. Let me talk about you and me. Why are we so rushed? Why, even when we're retired, I got so much to do, I got this. Why are we so busy? Well, I'm a pastor, I'm not a counselor, but I would say this, after being in the ministry for a couple days, I believe, we're either running from something or running to something. You say, Jeff, what are you talking about? You're either running from something or you're running to something. If you really analyze yourself, most of us in this room have had things that have happened to us that make us, that allow us to be who we are today. Somebody said some horrible things to us. Somebody did something horrible to us. And what most of us, if you're like me, what my issue is, you just like to be liked. You don't want people to dislike you. And so what do? You do things that you shouldn't normally do because you want everybody to like you. And what does that do? That causes tension with you and everybody else. And it causes anxiousness. And it causes this pause that you have in you. Because we're either running from something or to something. You might be running from insecurity. You might be running from a pain. I don't know what it is, but the problem for most people in today's culture is you're chasing a life that will leave you empty once you find it. You're chasing a life that just leaves you empty, and you go, oh, this is it? I don't want this. I want something else. I don't want this. I want that. And so we go after that, and oh, that wasn't it either. What if the greatest enemy that you have today is actually the way that you're living your life right now? Some of you are saying, well, Jeff, you're a preacher and you work one day a week. You don't understand. Okay. And I want to say very respectfully to you, you have time for what you choose to do. You have time. You make time for what you choose to do. You choose not to go to life groups. You choose not to help other people. You choose these things. You choose something else over the way. Often, many times, you choose it. Nobody's holding a gun to your head saying, you got to do the stuff you're doing to take care of all your goods and your services and all the things that you've got to take care of. Nobody's holding a gun to your head. You choose to serve what you're serving. You have time for what you choose to serve. And so if I can get in your business just one more edge, let me say this. The solution is not what matters most. It is more of what matters most. Is that you've got to understand that the only thing that really matters in any of this is us. It's people. It's people. It is not the things in your garage. It is not. I know those things are nice. And I'm not saying, Jeff, you don't always have to. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but when they take place, when they take the place of this, of people, of relationship, of relating, of having compassion, having the ability to walk along somebody and say, I hurt because they hurt. It happens all the time here. People, they get touched by somebody because they sit in a group and they hear somebody crying and saying, this stinks, my life is horrible. And you have compassion and you well up and you go, I should do something about this. And then you walk out of the room and you go and nothing gets done about it. You choose to do the things that you want to do. We've got to hone in on what matters most. And what matters most is relationship. And a lot of you are going, I hate relationship. I know that. And the reason you hate relationship is because you've been burned. You've been burned time and time and time again. You're on your third divorce. You're on your 15th friend that didn't do anything for you. You're on this person that let you down, that person that let you. I am through with people. Nobody's going to hurt me anymore. The way says differently. He knew those very people that he was healing, They were probably on that hill that day going, "Crucify him!" He knew that. And he loved him anyway. Pretty tough stuff, isn't it? If you're really giving it any kind of credence at all. So I want to end on a little lighter note, and then I'll come back and put the nail in the coffin. Jeff, what do we spend our time on? Okay, I know that these three things are not what everybody in this room or everybody at home always does, but I want to tell you these are the three biggie, and I want to focus in on these three just for a second. You say, Jeff, how does this fit into anything? It fits into, because if you're too busy, then something needs to not be busy anymore so you can do the things that are most important. Let's start where a lot of us live. Not all of us, but a lot of us. Let's start this. How about social media? Social media. How about TV? How about video games? Let's just start. Those are the three things that everybody from about, you know, kid to 50-ish really spend a lot of time. And when you're above 50, you watch a lot of TV because that's what you do. You sit in front of the tube. You sit in front of the tube and it doesn't even have tubes anymore, does it? Sorry. You sit in front of the TV. And you mindlessly veg out and you watch all this wonderful reports. And then if you're older, then what you do is you go to YouTube and you get all your theories and your things. And this is what I got, and this is what I got, and this is what I got, and this is what I got. And you spend hours on that, and you get away from the mission of the one who called you to be the way. Let's talk about social media just for a second. Just for a second, these are some figures that I found, very recent figures, and I don't even know if I agree with them, but here they are. Just throw them out, just real quick. If you're on social media, the average person on social media above 30 years old spends 706 hours a year on social media. I think that's light, but that's what they say. Then they say below 30, it's 1,400 hours. 1,400. TikTok, Instagram, you name it, and that old-fashioned thing called Facebook, you know, that all of us old people think we're relevant about, and we watch, you know, we sit on. That's just one. Now let's move to TV. 2,700 hours, 2,700 hours a year. The average guy plays before he's 21, has 10,000 hours of playing games, Fortnite. You name it, you whatever night you want to call it. Now, having said all that, do you know what you can do with that kind of time? Do you know? Let me tell you. And this is just some things that I just kind of my brain. Sorry for those kinds of things. If you're 21 or you're under 21 and you're for $10 an hour, if you have 10,000 hours, you by the time you're 21, you could have $100,000. You go get a job for $10 an hour. You can have $100,000 by the time you're 21. I got nothing. I'm living in my parents' basement. I'm living in what? You could read 2,000 books with that many hours. You could get your pilot's license. You can read and memorize the whole entire New Testament. You can get your undergraduate and your graduate degree with 10,000 hours. How about your relationships? The relationships that really matter. If you got some of that time off of one of those things and you poured it into your relationship, your most significant relationship, how incredible might that be? How about your kids? If they weren't so controlled by this thing. Well, my kids, they spend so much time. Who's in charge? I don't know. What if you're your greatest enemy? The way you're living right now. You say, well, I don't feel close to God. I just gave you thousands of hours back of your life. If you could just take one of those, and kind of begin to whittle it down a little bit. So what do I do now? I don't know. I struggle with this too. I'm not up here one who's going, man, I got it all together. That's my family. I'll be out, and once in a while I'll pick up my phone, and I'm bored with this conversation, so I'm checking out. What's on Marketplace? You do it too. Don't laugh at me. Remember what I said last week, Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the shadow, he will make me lie down more in a green pasture. He will make you. If you're not careful, and then something will happen, and your spouse will pop up and say, we're not together here anymore. We're not getting on the same wavelength. Why? You just don't make me feel special. Okay, that's a surprise. And you see, we've got to figure this out. We have to figure this out. I know the world is burning, but I'm telling you, church, you got to be ready to fall away now. If you don't get aware of this, if somebody doesn't call you and say, listen, there's a fire, let's put it out, maybe this is time for that fire to be started, to be quenched out. Paul's first definition of love we find in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. The very first thing he says, love is patient. Listen, church, love takes time. It's not just a verb. It's just not something you do. It takes time. If you love somebody, you have to invest in somebody. It can't be a one and done kind of a thing. Oh, I love you. Here's a meal. Boom, that's nice. Great meal. Wonderful. But what about tomorrow? What about the next day? Somebody needs to speak this love, this patient love into each of our lives. Because all of us are running around going, I need it. I want somebody to care. I want somebody to know that I'm not doing very well. I want somebody to understand me. And we cry out. And we try different things, and none of them seem to work. So, Jeff, having said all that, what are you doing about this? Well, since COVID, I really have been trying to hone in on this and try to be a little bit more present and try to. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not doing a great job, but I've been praying this prayer. And I'm praying that God does something with it, and then I allow Him to do something with it. And I think it'll come up on the screen here. It's this: God, help me to walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and love people deeply. Let me say it again. God, help me to walk slowly enough to experience Jesus fully and to love people deeply. See, I love all of you. I really do. But I'm not sure how deep I love you, and I want to love you deeper. And I want you to love me deeper. And I want you to love each other in this place deeper. And I want you to love other people outside these walls deeper. But if you can't get, you don't have time for what matters most, then there's a real issue. There's a real issue. So Jeff, what's the answer? I tell you, number one, keep praying that prayer. And so one of the things that God's been doing with me as I pray that prayer is this, that He's been telling me, Jeff, you got to be more present, and you got to. When they tell you how you're doing, you're doing fine. No, you're probably not doing fine, because none of us are doing fine. We're all a wreck inside. I know that. We're all like that. We're all like that. What is it? The thing that's paddling the swan. It looks beautiful above. Everything looks good, but underneath they're paddling like this, and that's you. And that's me. We're all doing this underneath, going, just trying to keep it up. I don't want to go under. Look what Matthew 11 said. Are you tired? Are you worn out of doing this? Been teaching to be present in the moment. Second thing he's doing is you got to eliminate some things that are not important. Been trying to cut down some of my TV time. I've been shutting it off at night, been praying more. Those things have been really helpful for me. And I want to tell you, some of you that can sit there and watch Fox News for 13 straight hours, it's just background noise. No, it's not background noise. You're getting it all. Maybe just shut it off and put on some praise music. I don't know. I don't want to stand up here as a professional and tell you, because I'm failing a lot of this too. But I'm telling you, if you don't get a handle on this now, you're not only passing off to the next generation, you're missing a blessing that God has for you right now. We got to slow down. We got to learn to have that those rhythms of grace and say, God, I want to work in what you're doing, not in what I think. Because you know what I think? Well, usually when I'm busy and I see somebody, oh, I'll throw this at it, and that'll make them feel better. And it does for a minute, but then that's it. That's not God. God takes things that are and it's wholesale change. It's wholesale thing, experience that comes, and then you know it because you know it's only something that God can do, because I can't do it. Only God can. As Jesus walked, let's close it down. As Jesus was walking, and he walked everywhere, understand, for those 3 years, he knew where he was walking. You know where he was walking to? He was walking to the cross. You say, Jeff, you're getting all spiritual on me. Yes, I am. He was walking to the cross. And as he calls us today to walk and follow him, you know where you're walking? To the cross. And I want to get to the business of starting to talk to you about, hey, let's start getting out there, and let's be in a church that is evangelizing church, that speaks love and life into people's lives. But we can't do that if there's all these mush in our life. And here, let me go back and offend everybody else real quickly. Just because I spoke on those three, I want to talk, there's clubs. Your kids are involved in clubs. They're involved in this sport and that sport. And you're involved in this club and that club. And if it takes the place of doing what you're doing for God, it ain't right. Jeff, that's really, you're getting close there. You got to be very, very careful. Balance things out. I watch 2,700 hours of TV, and I study the Bible 1 hour, maybe at a Bible study during the weekend. It's like, yep, done, check. I don't feel close to God. How could we? How could we feel close to God? He's not listening to my prayers. Really? Okay. See, as I learn to walk like Jesus, I understand that every step I take is walking towards the cross. And as I go to the cross, the people that I see that are going in my life, they need to know about the cross too. And they need to know about the grave. And they need to know about heaven. And they need to know that God wants their soul. And that's more important than anything else. And here we are spinning our wheels today talking about our stupid phones and our TVs and our clubs and our games and our subscription series of all the things that we subscribe to. Your job is to show the love of God, who stepped out knowing he was going to the cross. He did it for you. He wants you to follow him likewise. He is the way. Follow him. He will not let you down. You're following Jesus. You're walking towards the cross. Let's pray as the band comes.